يستغفر لكم رسول الله لووا رؤوسهم ورأيتهم يصدون وهم مستكبرون سواء عليهم استغفرت لهم أم لم تستغفر لهم لن يغفر الله لهم إن الله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين هم الذين يقولون لا تنفقوا على من إلا رسول الله حتى ينفذوا ولله خزائن السماوات والأرض ولكن المنافقين لا يفقهون يقولون لئن رجعنا إلى المدينة لا يخرجن الأعز منها الأذل ولله العزة ولرسوله وللمؤمنين ولكن المنافقين لا يعلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون وأنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي أحدكم الموت فيقول ربي لولا أخرتني إلى أجل قريب فأصدق فأكن من الصالحين ولن يؤخر الله نفسا إذا جاء أجلها والله خبير بما تعملون صدق الله العلي العظيم In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. When the hypocrites come to thee, they say, We bear witness that thou art indeed the messenger of Allah. Yea, Allah knoweth that thou art indeed his messenger, and Allah beareth witness that the hypocrites are indeed liars. They have made their oaths a screen for their misdeeds. Thus they obstruct men from the path of Allah. Truly evil are their deeds. That is because they believed, then they rejected faith. So a seal was set on their hearts, therefore they understand not. When thou look at them, their exteriors please thee, and when they speak, thou listenest to their words. They are as worthless as hollow pieces of timber propped up, unable to stand on their own. They think that every cry is against them. They are the enemies, so beware of them. The curse of Allah be on them. How are they deluded away from the truth? And when it is said to them, Come, the Messenger of Allah will pray for your forgiveness, they turn aside their heads, and thou wouldst see them turning away their faces in arrogance. It is equal to them whether thou pray for their forgiveness or not. Allah will not forgive them. Truly Allah guides not rebellious transgressors. They are the ones who say, Spend nothing on those who are with Allah's messenger, to the end that they may disperse and quit Medina. But to Allah belong the treasures of the heavens and the earth. But the hypocrites understand not. They say, If we return to Medina, surely the more honorable element will expel there from the meaner. But honor belongs to Allah and His messenger and to the believers. but the hypocrites know not. O yea, who believe, let not your riches or your children divert you from the remembrance of Allah. If any act thus, the loss is their own. And spend something in charity out of the substance we have bestowed on you, before death should come to any of you. And he should say, O my Lord, why didst thou not give me respite for a little while? I should then have given largely in charity, and I should have been one of the doers of good. But to no soul will Allah grant respite when the time appointed for it has come, and Allah is well acquainted with all that you do. Sadaqa Allahu al-Aliyyul Azim.
Ahsan, Brother Sohail. Now I request Brother Mehdi Nuri for Ziyarat Ashura. Say Allahu Salawat.
Sarnay zahar زینب کجا و داغ دیدن از شمریان تن شنیدن یبن زهر و کوفه میا کوفه میا کوفه میا یبن زهر و کوفه میا کوفه میا کوفه میا یبن زهر و کوفه میا کوفه میا کوفه السلام علیک یا ابا عبد الله السلام علیک یا ابن رسول الله السلام علیک یا ابن امیر المؤمنین و ابن سید المسیح السلام علیک یا ابن فاطمه سیدت نساء العالمین السلام علیک یا ثار الله و ابن ثار و الوتر الموتون السلام علیک و علی الروح التي حلت بفنائك علیکم منی جمیعا سلام الله ابدا ما بقیت و بقی الليل و النهار یا ابا عبد يا أبا عبد الله يا أبا عبد الله لقد علمت الرزية وجلت علمت المصيبة بك علينا وعلى جميع أهل الإسلام وجلت وعظمت مصيبتك في السماوات على جميع أهل السماوات فلعن الله أمة أسست أساس الظلم والجور عليكم أهل البيت ولعن الله أمة دفعتكم عن مقامكم وأزالتكم عن مراتبكم التي رتبكم الله فيها ولعن الله أمة قتلكم ولعن الله الموحدين لهم بالتمكين من قتالكم بيتوا إلى الله وإليكم منهم وأشياءهم وأتباعهم وأولياءهم يا أبا عبد الله يا أبا عبد الله يا أبا عبد الله إني سلوى صائمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم إلى يوم القيامة ولعن الله على زياد وعلى مروان ولعن الله بني أمية قاطبة ولعن الله بن أمر جانا ولعن الله عمر بن سعد ولعن الله شمرا ولعن الله امه نسجت والجمال وتنقبت لبصرك بابي انت وعمي لعن مصابي بك فاسال الله الذي اكرم مقامك واكرمني بك ان يتقني قلب ثارك مع امام المنصور من اهل بيت محمد صلى الله عليه واله اللهم اجعلني عندك وجيا بالحسين عليه السلام في الدنيا والاخره يا ابا عبد الله يا ابا عبد الله يا ابا عبد الله اني سلموا اني اتقرب اليك الى الله ولا رسول ولا امير المؤمنين ولا فاطمه ولا الحسن وليك بمبالاتك وبالبراءه ممن اسس اساس ذلك وبنى عليه بنيانا وجرى في ظلمه وجبره عليكم وعلى اشياعكم بيت الى الله واليكم منهم وتقرب الى الله ثم اليكم بموالاتكم وموالات اليكم وبالبراءه من اعدائكم والناصرين لكم الحرب وبالبراءه من اشياعهم واتباعهم اني سلمان لمن صالحكم وحرب لمن حاربكم وولي لمن والاكم وعدو لمن عادكم فاسال الله الذي اكرمني بمعرفتكم ومعرفه اوليائكم وزغني البراءه من اعدائكم ان يجعلني معكم في الدنيا والاخره وان يثبتني عندكم قدم صدق في الدنيا والاخره واساله ان يبلغني المقام المحمود لكم عند الله وان يرزقني طلب ثواركم مع امام هدى ظاهر ناطق بالحق منكم واسال الله بحقكم وبالشان الذي لكم عنده ان يعطيني مصابي بكم افضل ما يعطي مصابا بمصيبه ما عدمها وعدم رزيتها في الاسلام وفي جميع السماوات والارض اللهم اجعلني في مقامي هذا ممن تناله منك صلوات ورحمه ومغفره اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد. اللهم إن هذا يوم تبركت به بنو أمية وابن عاكلة الأكبار لعين بن لعين على لسانك ولسان نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله في كل موطن وموقف وقف فيه نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله. اللهم لعن أبا سفيان ومعاوية ويزيد بن معاوية عليه منك اللعنة أبد العابدين. وهذا يوم فرحت به آل زياد وآل مروان بقتلهم الحسين صلوات الله عليه. اللهم فضعف عليهم اللعنة منك والعذاب الأليم. اللهم إن يتقرب إليك في هذا اليوم وفي موقفي هذا وأيام حياتي بلاءة منهم ولعنة عليهم وبالموالاة نبيك وعلى نبيك عليه وعليهم السلام. اللهم لعن أول ظالم بلعن حق محمد وآل محمد وآخر سعد أنه على ظالك. اللهم لعن العصابة التي جادت الحسين وشيعت وبايعت وتابعت على قتله. اللهم لعنهم جميعا. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. ولا جعل الله آخر عهد مني زيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. اللهم قس أنت بيضا من بلعن مني وابدأ به أولا ثم الثانية والثالثة والرابعة. اللهم لعن يزيد خامسا ولعن بيضا بن زياد وابن مرجان وعمر بن سعد والشمرة وعلى أبي سفيان وعلى زياد وعلى مروان إلى يوم القيامة.
سجدة.
اللهم لك الحمد وحمد الشاكرين لك على مصابهم. الحمد لله على عديم رزيتي. اللهم ارزقني شفاعة الحسين يوم الولود وثبت لي قدم صدق عندك مع الحسين وأصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام.
سلام.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now I'll give a quick recap of what Maulana said yesterday in his speech. We should enter Muharram with dignity so that it gets the respect it deserves. The month of Ramadan and Muharram are both sacred and dear to believers. In the month of Ramadan, sins are forgiven, but in this month there are no actions which make paradise wajib. In Muharram, crying for Imam Hussein and Azadari makes paradise wajib. The month of Ramadan is when the Quran was revealed, and in the month of Muharram is when the Quran in Natiq was revealed. The month of Muharram has the night of Qadr, which is better than 1,000 months. The month of Ramadan has night of Qadr, which is better than 1,000 months. And in Muharram, we have Ashura, in which Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said, no day is like Ashura. In Ramadan, the Quran was not in danger, but in Muharram, the talking Quran was shred to pieces. These sad occasions take precedence over happy occasions. And in this month, we want to defend Imam Hussein's dignity. We are not crying because of habit or we want to cry, but because we love the Prophet and his family. Our religion is love, and love requires for us to cry if the beloved is harmed. We cry not because Imam Hussein's head was taken away, but because his rights were taken away. And we will continue to cry until the right of Wilayat is given to Imam and all of us obey him. The month of Ramadan is a month of mercy, and Imam Hussein alayhi salam is the greatest mercy of Allah, and so the mercy in Muharram is much greater than in my Ramadan. For Quran, Allah used the word obedience, but for the Ahlul Bayt, Allah used the word mawaddat. Mawaddat is love which is expressed, and muhabbat is love which doesn't have to be expressed. So we must declare our love for the Ahlul Bayt out loud, and attending the majalis is declaring out loud that we love Bibi Fatima salam alayha and her children. Laylatul Qadr has a direct relationship with Ashura. Whatever you get is written on Laylatul Qadr. And to know how much we receive, we should look on Ashura on how much we grieve, because we are at our best on Ashura. Every year in Muharram, Imam Hussein alayhi salam asks us if he wants to remove Yazid from our hearts. We have to answer this at the beginning of Muharram. Now I request Maulana Beg to address the Mu'mineen. Please stand up and move forward without Salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
حضر الله نعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. The first question is, does Islam stop a person from having fun? Does Islam stop anyone from enjoying or any type of enjoyment? That's a question. And the answer is yes or no. No. The statement that Islam doesn't prohibit enjoyment or Islam doesn't stop us from having fun needs to be expanded, even though it's true, but it's incomplete. It is incomplete. Not only does Islam doesn't stop you from having fun and seeking pleasure, but Islam, Allah's deen, and Allah, they're insisting on you, why aren't you having more fun? You see, the idea of Allah, the concept that Islam lets you have fun is incorrect, even though it's true in its nature. But the fact is, Allah is saying, why aren't you having more fun? Why aren't you enjoying more? Why aren't you seeking more pleasure? Because not only does Islam say that you can, but he's saying that you should. Not only you should, but you must. You see, this is something that is a misconception amongst people who, in religion, become religious and think that, you know, we have to go through suffering in life with misery. And deen and religion wants misery, but that's not the case. Looking at it and looking at our life and our relationship with Allah, in that term, not only is it not good, but it is a sin also. Guess we need more room, so if you all can all move forward, you know, over here, you all can move forward. Right, one more salawat. No. For the happiness of Bibi Fatima, send a loud salawat. So my friends, understand this. This is the introduction to the topic that I will be speaking about for 10 days. And the topic is fun. Pleasure, or what we in Islam call lazat. This is the topic. And the basic question, the basic issue of Islam, and what Allah wants from us, is that we should, in every moment of our life, and everything that we do in life, should have complete fun and enjoyment. If a person, and this topic will reveal itself as we go on, if a person doesn't live his life enjoying and having fun, then Allah regards that as a sin. Understand this. The whole basic misconception of what deen is and what religion is done by shaitan. Because if Allah says you should have fun, and if Allah says you should enjoy yourself, if Islam says that you shouldn't seek pleasure, then that gives shaitan the perfect opportunity to tell everyone, hey, listen, Allah is stopping you from having fun, you come to me, this is where the party is. Right? Shaitan will easily come to you and say, hey, this is where the party is, come on, let's have fun over here. And he can easily misguide us, but that's not what Allah is saying. That's not what Islam is saying. This is where we need to clarify what deen is and what Islam is. Because if we don't, then we are leading our life as a Muslim, or the concept we have of Allah and His deen would be completely incorrect, and our life not only will be miserable, but we will be disconnected from Allah. Send us salawat. Yes, life is full of suffering. Life is full of difficulties, complications. It is complex, but Allah wants to raise a person. He wants to educate a person and raise him up so that within those difficulties and amongst those hardships, he has fun. There is enjoyment. There is pleasure. This is what Allah wants. And this seeking pleasure is to such an extent. It is honorable in the eyes of Allah, so important in the eyes of Allah to such an extent that if you cease having fun for even a moment in your life, if you do not have fun, if you do not seek pleasure for even a moment in your life, then in that moment you are disconnected from Allah and from spiritual growth. I am making these statements, and inshallah the ayat and hadith will come later. But I want you to understand the subject first, so that you know what we are speaking about. Not even a moment should we be detached from it. Seeking pleasure and having fun is so important in Islam that every moment, not only should you have fun, but you should also make others be happy around you. You should make others happy around you. You should make them smile. You should make them. This is a sign of a believer. That is one of the signs of a mu'min, is not only is he having fun in life, but he is making all the others around him having fun in life. Yes. You know, misconceptions are going to be broken. The ideas, long-held ideas of religious people are going to be smashed. And why? Because the whole concept of deen has been made by people who don't have a deep understanding of religion. Once you don't have a sophisticated understanding of deen and religion, you end up making wrong concepts about Islam and about religion, and then you go about in life, and now when you teach that deen which has been created by people of lesser understanding or less sophisticated understanding, what ends up happening is now you hold others, and especially your children, to a religion that teaches you misery and teaches you to be miserable. And this is the wrong idea about deen. And this is just an explanation I'm giving, and it's going to expand, but I want you all to know the subject that we are talking about. Now let's send the salawats. So the sign of a mu'min is not only is he seeking pleasure and lazat in his life, but he's also spreading that to the people who are around them. And if a person doesn't do that and spreads misery and unhappiness to others, then he has to deal with the angels who are recording his deeds. And when you deal with the angels who are recording your deeds, then it's not a pretty sight. Really, now you have to deal with them. But if you're happy and you're enjoying and you're making others enjoy and have fun, then you see that now Allah is dealing with you. You're dealing with Allah. But if you don't, then you have to deal with the angels. And when you deal with the angels, it's not fun. Because they, have rules that they have to abide by. They will get you, and when they get you, it's difficult. Alright, one more time, brothers, let's all move forward, and we can, feel there are more people waiting outside to come in. Salawat. Yeah, the ladies can also move and over here, inshallah, forward. So the ladies in the back want to come in. Yes. We have room over here for about 8-10 people, you know. And there's a... Yeah, there's a hole in the wall that can sit about 5 people. All right. Now you can settle down. Send us a salawat. All right. Ground rules, you know, since this is the first day and we know this, so inshallah, those who come in early, you can come straight forward so we don't have to do it all the time. So inshallah, you know, just, you know, pack yourself in so that we have more room in the back for people who want to come or who are coming later. All right? Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So the subject is lazzat, seeking pleasure and having fun. My friends, we are seeking to go to heaven for what? To live in misery? Right? We want to go to heaven in order to have fun. To seek pleasure. To become happy. That's why we're going there. And above that, the goal of meeting Allah and being with Allah, what is that for? Right? You know, so, I mean, we are going to heaven in order to be with Allah or in the presence of Allah for what? We are going there so that we can have fun, so that we can seek pleasure. That's the ultimate pleasure. This is the whole idea behind it. Not only is enjoyment and seeking pleasure not prohibited, but it's also not restricted. There's no restriction in how much fun you should have. Really, when I hear someone say, oh, that's enough, I had enough fun. I look at that and go, wow, that's it? That's all it takes to please you? That's it? You can't have more fun than this? My friends, there is no restriction. Allah didn't stop you from having fun. In fact, He didn't even stop you how much you should have fun. Yes? How much should you enjoy? How much should you be happy and, you know, partying? Partying in the good sense. Don't take the wrong meaning. Right? And we'll come to that. Right? What is fun and what is enjoyment? Really? The fact is that you should be enjoying every moment of your life. If you are not, then it's wrong. And I'll tell you why it's wrong. It really is wrong for us not to enjoy this life and this chance that we have right now. La ilaha illallah. You know, before that, the complications that we have in life, these difficulties, and adults know more than children. Children, the only difficulty you have is that you'll be grounded, right? And that, you know, your mom and dad restrict you from playing games or whatever it is, right? These are the restrictions in life. Trust me, your parents have more restrictions than you. I'm telling you. Every month they receive their complications in the mail. You know, they got bills. Right? And they all have to go through it. Right? Trust me, they got it harder than you. Right? And that's the way it is. These things in life, you know, these complications, these difficulties, or these restrictions in life are there so that your life is more exciting. You see, we're not cattle. You know, a cow, if you look at the life of a cow, the most exciting time it has is time to find the right grass to chew. You know, looks around, smells the grass, you know, smells the plants and say, this is good. I eat it and wow, that was fun. We are human beings. We are more sophisticated than that. Really, our enjoyment and our pleasure is more sophisticated than animals. That's the way it is, my friends. You know, I mean, you live in the Xbox One era. My childhood was in the Magnavox and Atari era, which you don't even know. It's in the Museum of Video Games. That's the only way you can find it. Right? And in those days, when we used to play games, those games that I used to play as a kid, you see, you were in a car, and you were just riding in the car, and that's it. You know, you're just riding and riding and riding, and, you know, you just space is going by, and you're like, okay. All right? No accidents? Nothing. Just you're riding. And that was, you know, I mean, we played that. Now, really, after 15 minutes of playing that, just riding, 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 nothing happening, really, you start feeling retarded. I mean, you can actually see your brain cells dying. You know what's going on here? There's no accidents. There's nothing to shoot. There's nothing to win. There's nothing to solve. Nothing. You go on. Really, if a video game is so simplistic, if a video game has no action, if a video game has nothing to solve or go by or any stages to, transcend, what happens? We get bored. My friends, this is why Allah made life complicated. There are things happening in life, issues happening in life, so that life remains exciting. There are things to solve in life, so that life is exciting. Life is a game. Really, life is a game. Allah says, وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهْوٌ وَلَعِبٌ. The life of this world is nothing but a game. It has the characteristics of a game. If Allah didn't give us problems, life would become boring. Life would become boring. Life remains exciting, and you know it remains wanting to have more fun because of all the things that we go through in life. This is why Allah, He made us, He made life like this so we can enjoy it. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Alright, my friends, now, you know, if this is enjoyment, it's something that we should seek in everything that we do in life, right? Understand this first. Now, the importance of it, my friends, Allah made us, created us in order that we have fun. Look at yourself and the relationship with your Creator. Do you really think that Allah created you so that you can live through misery? Be unhappy? Ask yourself the question. Why did Allah create me? I mean, did He want it? Okay, now I created you, so now I'm going to make your life miserable. Here. Allah, when He created us, He created us to seek pleasure. And when we don't seek pleasure, when we don't seek fun and have fun, then you know what? We are not doing what we are supposed to do. My friends, we owe it to Allah to have fun in life. We owe this to Allah. That Allah, really, you made me have fun. I owe it that I should have fun. That I should seek pleasure. If you take your children, let's say, if you take your children to a theme park, let's say you take it to Disney, you know, and, you know, nowadays tickets to Disney are over $100. You spend all that money in order to take your children to Disney or any place else, Six Flags, whatever is here, I don't know, right, a theme park. Why are you taking them there? Right, so they can be miserable? You know, I'm spending all this money on you and taking you here so that, you know, you can be annoyed. To have fun. Now when you take them there to the theme park and you see that they're not having fun, you ask them, why aren't you having fun? Why aren't you having fun? I brought you here to have fun. My friends, this is the same thing Allah is asking you. I brought you here to have fun and enjoy. Why aren't you enjoying? What is wrong? Really, now understand this. La ilaha illallah. My friends, there is, you know, the deen and religion must be understood correctly. It's not a simplistic thing. Deen is sophisticated, and it is meant for human beings who are sophisticated. We should not have a naive understanding of religion that this is a religion. Deen has, you know, Allah wants and Allah made us to have fun. And any time, my friends, understand this, when you don't have fun, and any moment that goes by where you're not seeking pleasure is a moment to do istighfar for. Do istighfar to Allah, Allah, I'm sorry that I did not enjoy this. Why didn't I enjoy it? Why didn't I have fun? See, this is my friend, understand what deen is. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. You know, the imams were mazloom, were oppressed. One of the reasons of their oppression, you know, when you look at it, the reason of their oppression is that they were unable, because of the people restricted them and didn't want it, they were unable to create an environment where people can enjoy. They were trying to do that. They said that, let us make, what does other mean? Other means that now you will have an environment where you can truly see pleasure in life. It's only when zulm happens, when oppression happens, when we become miserable. In the state of other injustice, there is enjoyment. And they were stopped from making that environment. La ilaha illallah. So inshallah, I mean, this is just, as I said, an introduction. Now, what should we have fun in? Right? What should we have fun in? You know, I'm not going to list anything out here. Just give you the principles. And inshallah, I will explain it more in detail later. I'm just trying to open up the subject and the topic of our discussion so that we understand what deen is and practice it in the right way and live our lives in the right way. How religion taught us to live our lives. You can have fun in anything. There is no restriction. In anything you can have fun. With three conditions. There are three conditions. The first condition of having fun is that the enjoyment or the fun that you're having should be lasting. It shouldn't be temporary. It should be lasting. Should have a permanency about it. You know, not something that, you know, instant pleasure, and you know what, and after that you're like miserable after that. You know? It should be lasting, first thing. Understand, what is fun? Number two, that it should be deep and profound, not something shallow. Fun is when it's deep, when there's depth to it. When you enjoy something shallow, that's not fun. Really, that's not fun. The third thing is that it shouldn't be detrimental to you. It shouldn't be harmful to you. See, understand this. If it's harmful, for example, if I have fun doing something that's detrimental to me, that's making me not have fun anymore, what's the fun in that? Right? You know, let's say, you know, I want to be, Superman, I go on top of the roof and, you know, start to fly, which I can't. So what happens now? I fall to the ground, you know, and get injured. So now I can't have any more fun. What was the fun in that? That's not fun. That wasn't fun. I mean, you know, really, fun. These three things, right? Inshallah, you know, the details will come later. I don't want to, you know, expand on the details right now. Slowly and slowly, because this is something that when you understand what lazat is and how lazat is so important in a mu'min's life, then you will truly appreciate life and everything that's in life that you are going through. And then you will understand, wow, this is beautiful. Right? Because you see some people, you know, who understand this, when they look at life and all the difficulties in life, they look at it and say, this is beautiful. Wow, this is amazing. Right? And when they don't understand, then they're like, man, this is terrible. This is horrible. You know? I'm sad. Why? What are you sad for? Right? This was meant for you to have fun. This is exactly, my friends, where we want to reach. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. In fact, all the restrictions of deen in Islam, every restriction that Allah made in Islam is so that we can have more lasting fun and enjoyment. Every restriction Allah made is based on that, so that we can have lasting fun, true enjoyment, true pleasure. This is what Allah wants. Allah, you know, when you look at Allah, you know, some people who are religious, you know, I mean, they when they teach Islam to other people, like in Sunday schools, you know, the way they teach Islam is that, you know what, Allah made us, and now He wants us to be miserable. So now He made us and saying, okay, now I made you, I'm going to annoy you and bother you, you know, with things. Really, these wajibat, these muharramat, and these haram things, these are not to bother us. In fact, they are there so that we can have more fun in life. And having the wrong understanding of these things will make us run away from them. Enjoyment is a characteristic of good life. And I will explain that more. Again, you know, we have room right in the middle. So if you all can just move forward again, there are more people just, you know. Just pack yourself in and we'll be good. Alright. So inshallah, you know what that is. You know, what is that fun and what is that enjoyment? I will explain later. Today, just I want to now read something for you. Let's put the light on, yes. I don't know if that's going to help or... all right, inshallah. One more salawat. The loud one. Now, what that fun is and how we truly increase our enjoyment in life and how we truly, you know, go forward with this, I will explain that from tomorrow. Today, I just want to read a letter from Imam Ali alayhi salam. Right, that, you know, he has written to Muhammad ibn Abu Bakr, who he had appointed to be the governor of Egypt. And this is in the Nahjul Balagha. If you want to go back, you can read the letter. Right, and I will just read it for you so that, you know, you don't think that, hey, this is Maulana who's saying these things. It really is not me who's saying this, my friend. This is Islam. Right? And this is the teachings of Ahlul Bayt that we are trying to give and make us understand of what is Islam and what does Allah want from us. This letter that he has written to him, he says, وَعْلَمُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ Know, servants of Allah, أن المتقين ذهبوا بعاجل الدنيا وعاجل الآخرة فشاركوا أهل الدنيا في دنياهم ولم يشاركهم أهل الدنيا في آخرتهم. He says, know, O servants of Allah, that the pious people, the muttaqeen, muttaqeen are those who are pious, those who follow Islam, those who are aware of Allah, that we all want to be in. Ali is the Imam of Muttaqeen, right? We want to be Muttaqeen. We want to be pious. He says that the pious, and he's describing who the pious are. He says the pious, they have left the dunya and have gone to the akhirah, meaning they have left, they run towards the dunya so that they can reach their akhirah. فَشَارَكُهُمْ أَهْلَ الدُّنْيَا And they share their dunya, their world, with the people of the world. They share in all the enjoyments that the people of the world share in. They also share in those enjoyments in this dunya. Meaning they also do the same things. But, وَلَمْ يُشَارِكُهُمْ But the people of dunya, they don't share the pleasure that the muttaqeen will have in the akhirah. Let me read an ayat for you, right? This ayat is in the seventh chapter of the Quran. And this ayat says, قُلْ من حرم زينت الله التي أخرج لعباده. Say to them, who has made the enjoyments of the world haram, that Allah has made these enjoyments for His servants. These pleasures and enjoyments, Allah has made it for the servants. Who has made it haram? Who made it haram? Who prohibited it from you? No one has stopped you from that. Who made it haram? See, Allah is asking the question. Right? And he says, what the yabat min al-risk, and the good food. This is an ayat in the Quran. He says, قُلْ هِيَا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. These pleasures and these enjoyments are for those who believe. Those who believe, those who are mu'min, these enjoyments are meant for them. And then خَالِصَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And they are only meant for them on the Day of Judgment. Meaning here they will share those enjoyments like others are doing, they will also do it. Like others are seeking pleasures, mu'mineen are also seeking pleasure. And they are enjoying the enjoyments of this world. But in the akhirat, only they will enjoy it. Those people won't. Ayat of the Quran, right? So now let me just read what Imam Ali says from now on. What did he say in that letter? He says, سَكَنُ الدُّنْيَا بِأَفْذَلِ مَا سُكِنَتْ. He says that the muttaqeen, they live in places, their homes are better than the homes of people of the dunya. La ilaha illallah. You know. What do you thought muttaqi was? Right? What do you thought muttaqi was? Imam Ali is saying that their homes are better than, you know, the people of the dunya. You go to their homes are better. They live in better homes than them. Alright? وَأَكَلُوهَا بِأَفْذَلِ مَا أُكِلَتْ. And they eat better food than those of the dunya. Yes. Their food is also better that they eat. Who are these people? Mutaqeen. Imam Ali is speaking about Mutaqeen, right? وَلَبِسُوا بِأَفْذَلِ مَا لُبِسُوا. And they wear better clothes than the people of dunya. Now what's left? Right. What's left? You know, a lot of times what happens is this, right? And, you know, just as an example, I'll let you know this, right? And, I mean, usually what happens is that whenever youngsters become religious, the first thing they lose is fashion. Right? You know, they start to wear like shabby clothes and, you know, this type of things, you know. Whenever this happens, you know, to me, because, you know, I work with youth, and whenever I see youngsters, you know, becoming a little bit religious, they start praying and they start doing these things, right away they become like, you know, completely shabby, you know, and these things. And the first thing I tell them is, what's wrong with you all? Right? What's wrong with you all, you know? He says, because now you became religious, what happens is this. Now the other kids who are not religious look at you and say, you see, that's what happens when you become religious. Yeah. Go and get some clothes to wear. What is this? Walking around in pajamas in the masjid, you know? You know, you're not being religious here. That's not the meaning of religious. Who told you that was the meaning of religious? Oh, that's what it means to be religious. It has nothing to do with that. Imam Ali is saying that they wear the best clothes. They wear clothes better than those people. Right? Okay. وَتَزَوَّجُوا بِأَفْضَلِ مَا يَتَزَوَّجُوا. They marry better spouses. They have better spouses than the people of the dunya. Wow. Okay. وَرَكَبُوا بِأَفْضَلِ مَا يَرْكَبُونَ. And they ride better cars than the people of the dunya. They ride. Markab means rides. The rides are better than them. Now what else is left? You're thinking, this is all dunya. This is all dunya, right? What is this? But you see, here's the thing. Hadith have, you know, there are hadith that say that these things, meaning the clothes you wear, right? The wives that you marry, the spouses that you marry, the homes that you live in, these are not part of dunya. Meaning they're not those things that you should run away from. These are. You know, then you can say, well, what is left of hubbe dunya? Brothers, hubbe dunya is completely something that if you understand it simplistically, then you will have no clue what that means. Yes. Ra'asu kulli khatiyah hubbe dunya. Hubbe dunya is the main reason of all mistakes. But hubbe dunya can be anything. It could be the Quran that you are reading. That is hubbe dunya. It is the prayer that you're making that can be hubbe dunya. You know, I don't want to expand it for today, but let me give you hubbe dunya is, right? There was a very well-known alim. He was very well-known to be very pious and great and all these things. World-known, right? So what happened is that a hermit, you know, a monk, wanted to go and learn from him. So he went there seeking him and came to his house. When he came to the house of this scholar, this really grand arif, whose piety is known throughout the world, he came to his house. He saw that he lives in a huge mansion. And this hermit who came, this Sufi, he comes there, who these Sufis are, right? Those who have divorced the world and they live on their own. They have no worldly possession in their hand. In fact, the only thing that they symbolically carry is called a kashkul. A kashkul is like a lota, like this, right? Like a bowl. You know, they eat from it, they drink from it, they sleep on it as a pillow. They do all these things, right? So this is their only position. You know? So he comes there to the house of this grand alim. He sees he has a huge mansion. He has servants. He has all kinds of things in his house. Decorations and all these things. He comes to the alim and says, I thought you were pious. I thought that you are religious. I thought you were a mu'min and a muttaqi person. But you turned out completely different. All the rumors about you are false. In fact, you know what? You should come to my teacher, and he will teach you true Islam and true meaning of religion. So this scholar who heard him said, all right, let's go. No, but he's very far away. He said, listen, if he has knowledge to give me, let's go. Right now? Yes, right now, let's go. And they left the house and started walking. They walked until they reached outskirts of the city. And when they reached the outskirts of the city, that hermit, the Sufi, said, wait a minute, we have to go back. He said, why? Because I left my bowl at your house. You left your bowl at your house? Leave it, we are going to your teacher to learn knowledge. He says, but that's the only thing I have. That's the only thing I have. And this scholar looked at him and said, listen, I left behind a mansion, a life, servants, everything at a moment's notice, knowing that there is knowledge to be given. And you can't even leave a bowl behind? Now understand, my friends, having dunya and enjoying it has nothing to do with being attached to it. What is hubbe dunya? Hubbe dunya means being attached to something. It could even be the smallest thing. Even, for example, scholars and maulanas have hubbe dunya. No, I'm saying, let me look at you, I have hubbe dunya. I'm saying that. But their dunya is different. You know what their dunya is? Their dunya is like, oh, you know what? I have a big jamaah. I have 500 people who pray Friday prayer behind me. Really? What is that? This is attachment to dunya. And they're attached to it. The idea is hubbe dunya can be anything. If we have simplistic understanding of deen, then we will make misconception in everything we do in life. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now, Imam continues this and says, وَأَصَابُ لَزَّةَ الدُّنْيَا مَا أَهْلَ الدُّنْيَا. These people, they seek the same pleasures. They have the same enjoyment like the people of dunya are having. Muttaqi people. They're enjoying the same things, but better than them. They enjoy it better than them. Really, my friends, this is Imam Ali's description. And then he says, وَتَيَقَنُوا أَنَّهُمْ جِرَانُ اللَّهِ غَدًا. They have certainty that yes, right now in dunya we're enjoying, but tomorrow we will be the neighbors of Allah. We will be the neighbors of Allah tomorrow, and there will be more enjoyment. La ilaha illallah. If our outlook is not such that I just explained, we need to change our outlook. Imam Ali is saying, change your outlook of what is mutaqeen. You know, having a house and food and these things have nothing to do with dunya. In fact, you know what happened, you know, some people, you know, I mean, you heard these hadiths, you know, a lot of times, but you know, that hadith, whenever it's mentioned, they never explain to you the idea behind the hadith. Let me now tell you the rest of the story. You know, this hadith was there, that a person came to Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. And he saw Imam, and he saw Imam wearing good clothes, and he says, look at you, you're wearing these fine clothes, and these nice clothes, and your grandfather Ali used to wear shabby clothes. You heard this hadith, right? Right? This is, you know, what he said, you're like, you're wearing these clothes, and look at your grandfather Ali is wearing these clothes. No, and then, you know, Imam replied to him, that, listen, Imam Ali, my grandfather, was wearing those clothes because of conditions. My friends, what you haven't heard is the reason that Imam is giving is trying to say that Imam Ali's clothes were because of the conditions he lives in. The clothes I'm wearing is the norm. This is the norm. It was Imam Ali, because of the conditions he was living in, he wore that. Otherwise, he would be dressed like me also. Not that I would be dressed like him. You see, the norm is what I'm doing, not what Imam Ali was. He was the leader of the people. People had appointed, they were looking up to him. He had to live just like the poor people of the time so that they do not feel ashamed in trying to access him. The reason is for Imam Ali, not for Imam Sadiq. What Imam Sadiq was doing was the norm. There was no need for him to be different. Or there was no condition that was dictating his life. You see, this is why deen needs to be understood correctly. Otherwise, what happens is that we end up thinking that, you know what, we need to have a shabby life, a miserable life, and this is what religion is. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So my brothers, at the end, you owe Allah to have fun. Really. If you can understand the relationship that you have with your Rabb, you have a master. You know, you have a master. You have a Rabb. That Rabb, when he looks at you, really, there is more love on his side than on our side. You know, when you are a child and you have a mother, really, when the child is hungry, it is the mother that's in pain. More than the child. When Allah sees you miserable, really, is He feeling good that you're miserable? He wants you to have fun. He wants you to see pleasure. This is Allah's relation. He feels for you. More than any, you can't even comprehend that. You know, the hadith says, you know, Allah has a love of 70 mothers, but that's just a figure of speech. You can't even compare the love and the care that Allah has for you. You know, really when He says, how are you, He means it. It's not like, for example, you know, when we like meet the brothers here and say, so how are you doing, you know? Do you care? I'm just asking because that's the way you do it. I really don't care. But when your mother asks you, how are you doing, she means it. She's not asking you as a formality. There's care behind it. When Allah looks at you and says, how are you doing, He means it. He really cares for you. And that's why when we look at ourselves and our life that Allah has given us, we need to look from that outlook. That Allah, you made me, And I know that you love me. That's why you want me to be happy. Seeking pleasure, my friends, is what Allah wanted from us. I will explain what that means. But today, let's go to those who truly have experienced pleasure in life.
Yes. I will mention hadith tomorrow.
Just imagine those who have truly experienced pleasure and lazat in this life that Allah has given them.
You know, I mean, really, when your mother asks you, are you okay, you say, yes, I'm fine. And the mother says, okay, good, then I'm fine also.
Right? She says that, now I'm fine, knowing that you're fine, right?
Knowing that you're happy.
You know, when this, in terms of Allah, what does it mean when Allah says, are you okay, and you say, yes, I am pleased, then Allah says, then I am pleased also.
My friends, those people who truly were pleased in life, Allah is asking them.
Yes, nafse mutma'inna.
Right?
Radiyatan mardiya.
Are you happy?
Yes, I am happy.
Then Allah is saying, okay, I'm happy also.
See, understand this. When you look at those people who truly were pleased in life, and everything was a source of pleasure to such an extent that the people of dunya would look at them and envy them, how can you be so happy?
How can you be so pleased?
La ilaha illallah, this is it, my friends. Imam Hussein is coming as a refugee in the desert.
Yes, he has been made a refugee in the land of his grandfather.
Can you believe that he's being run around?
He's being chased.
Like someone who's running away.
Can you really look at that and see what that means?
You know, Imam Hussein hasn't reached Karbala yet.
When you look at him, he's being run around right now, being chased right now.
Everywhere he's going, he's being escorted.
Can you imagine what that feels like?
That feels like you're being chased around.
This is what crime have I done?
I haven't done anything.
Why are you chasing me around?
That's what Imam Hussein is going through right now.
My friends, we seek pleasure in life.
Allah wanted us to do that.
And really, right now, when you are living in these 10 days, and we have seen the moon of Muharram.
And the month of Muharram has started.
It is said that whenever our imams used to see the crescent and the hilal of Muharram,
there would be a sadness that comes on their faces.
You know, a realization, friends.
You know, it is something that we need to think about, right?
Imams, they are not emotional people.
That emotions run their life.
They are the source of wisdom and intellect and reasoning.
If you see the masoom cry, then there is good reason for them to cry.
Really, we truly don't know what Hussein has gone through in Karbala.
By reading the books of history.
You know, when you read the books of history, it really does not justify what Imam Hussein has gone through.
You know where we truly learn what Imam Hussein went through when we look at the Seerat of Rasulullah.
When we look at his Seerat, we learn.
This is something that's mentioned. We learn that Rasulullah,
whenever
He used to see Imam Hussein, no matter where Imam Hussein is, no matter where Rasulullah is, whether he's at home or in the masjid or outside, whenever he used to lay his eyes on Imam Hussein, he would start to cry. You want to know this? He never did that with Imam Ali, except for once. It was before the month of Ramadan, and Rasulullah was explaining how important Ramadan is, and Imam Ali stood up to ask a question and said, Ya Rasulullah, what is the best action for us to do in Ramadan? He asked that of Rasulullah. As soon as Rasulullah laid eyes on Imam Ali, he broke down crying. He started to cry. And Imam Ali said, Ya Rasulullah, why are you crying for? He says, because I see the vision of your beard drenched in your blood in this month of Ramadan, and I start to cry. I'm crying, I'm helpless but to cry. Once Imam Ali was shaheed also. He was hurt also. But once Imam Rasulullah looked at him, and only once did he cry for him. But it is said that every time Rasulullah used to lay eyes on Imam Hussein, he would cry. So the only question is, Ya Rasulullah, what are you seeing that we don't see? What are you looking at that we don't see? What happened to Hussein that is making you cry so much? And if Rasulullah has cried for Hussein in those terms, just by the vision of what happened to Hussein, then I'm beyond the cry. Imagine what Zainab went through when she saw Hussein going through what he had.
Yes, my friend, Imam Hussein's children are coming so that they can become orphans. Imam Hussein's children are coming to Karbala and they are going to become homeless. But I want you to notice that those children are becoming homeless, but I want you to notice the houses that they have built in our hearts.
They became homeless, but they built their homes in our hearts. What is overwhelming you so much that every year when you see the moon of Muharram and you enter Muharram, you cannot help but cry? Isn't it that those children and Hussein have made a home in your heart? Hussein, now I'm helpless. What can I do, Hussein?
You have overwhelmed me. What have you done with me that now every time I think of you, my heart starts to melt and my feet start to shake. I can't help but cry.
You know, there was a time... You know this, there was a time when Muslim Ibn Aqil was crying. He asked for water, and they gave him water, and he went to drink that water, and his mouth was punched in, and so it was bleeding, and as he went to drink the water, the blood fell in the water. He saw the blood in the water, and knew that this has become the jizz, I cannot drink it, and he started to cry. And as he started to cry, Ibn Ziyad rebuked him and said, What, you're crying now?
Come on, men don't cry. You're crying now? Why are you crying for?
If you were going to cry, why did you run after power? Why did you run after kingdom? You shouldn't have done that. He's trying to insult him. And you know what? When Muslim Ibn Aqil heard that, he let out a smile.
and he said, I'm not crying for myself. imagine this. I'm not crying for myself. Then why are you crying for? He said, I'm crying for Hussein. He's coming with his family and children. You know what I'm crying for? I'm ashamed in front of Hussein. I'm embarrassed in front of Hussein. Hussein trusted me. And I let him down. Now he's coming because I said so.
But I will tell Muslim Nabil something. Don't be embarrassed, Muslim. Don't be embarrassed. Raise your head.
You know why?
Because everyone is embarrassed in front of Hussein. Everyone falls short of Hussein.
Ibn Akil, don't feel bad for yourself. Don't you know everyone in Karbala was embarrassed in front of Hussein. Everyone is guilty in front of Hussein. Hussein is not able to live up to you. Muslim Nabil, if you could see by the bank of the river, you will see Abbas is ashamed. Abbas cannot see Hussein. Hussein is such that everyone feels embarrassed in front of Hussein. Everyone falls short of Hussein. Hussein is that good. Don't feel bad, Muslim. You know that even Zainab Kubra is embarrassed in front of Hussein. When Arbaeen came and Zainab came to the grave of Hussein, she would say, Hussein, I'm sorry, I lost your mother and you lost your job.
Say, Ya Muhammad, 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 Ya Muh
Martin Hussein.
Yeah, Hussein. Brothers and sisters, this year we will do a little bit of Forsa and Matan here in English. And if brothers would like to do something in Arabic, Farsi, you're most welcome to come and see me. But this time I'm going to invite Brother On to recite a Matan.
Who sent his rising sword of our heart? In our heart, there lies a scar carved
carved in by a leopard, young indeed, but there was a need for the wrath of the lion heart. Thala, Thala, Hussein is the wrath of Thala, Thala. End of Abbas, what can we say? Look at his body at the end of the day, bloodied and cleaved. Now perceive the faith of the soldier who truly believed. Thought Allah, Hussein is the rise of Allah, thought Allah. For the free was able to see the clarity of the Imam's plea. He switched aside and changed the tide and rushed to his death with battle pride. Thought Allah, Hussein is the rise of Allah. Thought Allah, Hussein is the There's a Habib wishing to be the first cut down by the enemy. His loyalty was completely for the son of Imam Ali. Thallah, Thallah, Hussein is the rise of Thallah, Thallah. And there's Saeed, ready to bleed, for the sake of Muhammad's creed. In his salat, the arrows he chewed, till his faith was finally sealed. Thallah, Thallah, Hussein is the rise of Thallah, Thallah. Zuhair the pure was more than sure to join Hussein in all the earth. Leaving his town, he won't let it down. He fought till he won a martyr's crown. Thought Allah, Hussein is the rise of Allah. Thought Allah, Hussein is the rise of Allah. Ashab Hussein, brutally slain, taught the world to overcome its pain. Oh Lord, seeking their Lord, their blood finally overcame the sword. Thought Allah, Hussein is the rising sword of God. Thought Allah, Hussein is the rising sword of God. Ya Mahdi, save this world from tyranny, and liberate Islam's fate from the yoke of those who hate. Thought Allah, Hussein is the rising sword of God. Thought Allah, Hussein is the rising sword of God. Unity is the fee that we all must clearly see. To stand up tall and not fall, we must form one solid wall.
Of the prophet Ali, 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 Ali,
when you love those boys, the pupils.